side off. Let me try. Let me know which is better. This or this? This one without the light. Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to start the lecture now. Please rise. We will face the front. One bow to Buddha. 一问讯，向佛。好，叫老师一问讯。 One bow to the teacher. Thank you, Peter. It's all yours.
So, good morning.
早安，早安。
谢谢今天早上可以抽空过来我们的那个星期天的那个周日讲座。 Thank you for taking out your time coming to our Sunday morning talk. My name is Peter. I will just introduce myself. Peter Lin, and by training I'm a mental health profession, and so usually my talk is an integration of mental health and some of the Buddhist understandings. 我先自我介绍一下，我叫做林敬诚，林敬诚。那我是一个那个心理学家，那所以基本上我讲的一些，我通常如果有讲一些周日讲座的课的话，都是跟心理学，主要是跟心理学有关。但是心理学跟佛学本身也是有关联的地方，所以我会把他们两个稍微结合在一起这样子。 So, today's talk is A Thousand Moons on the Thousand River. That is the topic. And, 所以今天我们要讲座的题目是千江有水千江月。 有点好奇，请问大家听到这个题目，你会觉得你会想要听到什么？ 各位请让我知道一下，你听到这个题目的话，会觉得想要听到什么？So my question was, by seeing this title, what do you think this talk is going to be about, or what are you interested about? Any idea? Any clue? So there's a thousand moons on a thousand river. Okay. Let me raise just curious, what brings you here today? Maybe that's an easier way to start. What brings you here today? Matt, do you know what brings you here today?
Me?
Yes.
Makes me think.
Makes you think?
Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you. So hopefully I can do that for you today, to make you think. 所以这位居士说他今天会来是因为他想要多思考。 So, okay. What brings you here today?
Well, going back to a thousand moons and a thousand years.
Okay.
I think it's like meaning of reflection.
Meaning of reflection?
Yeah.
Okay.
The water with the river takes in anything and then reflects it back to you.
Okay. That sounds meaningful, right? That sounds meaningful, okay. 所以这位居士说，他觉得这个水跟月有一个很重要的关系。水如果清的话，可以把那个月亮显现出来。Okay, Ricky, thank you.
Good morning, Peter. I'm
morning.
Because you're my friend, and I heard you're giving a talk, and I wanted to support you. And the topic seemed very important and interesting. And just to build on what this young man said about the reflection. Your topic is Thousand Moons on Thousand Rivers, what's the nature of vexation? I feel you kind of helped us understand it. In my mind, we have thousands of vexations, so thousands of moons that are just reflections on the river, but we tend to think of them as real. And so maybe you can shed some light on that for us and kind of help us, you know, what are these vexations and how can we overcome them?
Okay, great, thank you. So sometimes we see the moons and river and we think the moon is real, in fact it's just reflection. Okay, that's very interesting, thank you very much. Should I translate that too for her? I guess. 这个句子是说他Ricky 句子是说有时候我们看到月亮反映在水的上面的时候呢，我们觉得那个月亮如果水很平静的时候，水会把那个月亮看起来像是真的一样，那这跟我们人的一些执着可能也有关系，因为我们有时候把我们的执着当作像非常真实的，所以如果我们可以看出我们执着的我们烦恼的本质的话，可能会对我们生长智慧比较有用这样子。千江流水千江月，我讲一下为什么会选这个题目，因为我最近在翻我的书架，然后刚好我的书架有一本书叫做千江流水千江月，有没有人读过这本书？有，好看吗？好看的，我听说很好看，我老婆读过，我没有读。但是然后最近前阵子有个连续剧也是叫做千江流水千江月，那我就是那其实 这句话在佛法来讲是一个蛮有意义的一句话这样子。那我为什么会对这个连续剧跟书有兴趣呢？因为我觉得至少以我们西方心理学的角度来看，或是东方哲学来看的话，我们人生很多时候就像一部戏一样，人生就像一部戏，我们在扮演什么角色，有时候我们知道，有时候我们不知道。那有时候你如果不知道你在扮演什么角色的时候呢，烦恼可能会更多，烦恼可能会更多。 So why do I pick this topic, Thousand Moons on a Thousand River? Well, first of all, it's very Buddhist. It's a very Buddhist kind of, it's a famous Buddhist quote. It's a famous Buddhist quote. Actually, that's the actual quote. Thousand Moons on a Thousand River.And, how should I translate the next one? And 10,000 miles of no cloud with 10,000 white sky. Nah, that doesn't sound right. The idea is that when there's no cloud, the sky is vast and limitless. So that's the whole quote from one of the famous literature or Buddhist texts. And the reason why I picked this topic, Thousand Moons on Thousand River, is recently I was looking at my bookshelf and there's a novel. The title of the novel is called Thousand Moons on a Thousand Rivers. They actually have English translation of the same novel. It's a very famous novel in Taiwan. And also recently they have a TV drama. The title of the TV drama is called Thousand Moons on a Thousand River. So the reason I picked this title is because in our life is like drama. Life is like a drama. Life is like a theater. And a lot of time we're playing certain character without even knowing that we're playing that character. And if you're not knowing what character you're playing, I'm sure you will have more vexations compared to people who do know what character the plan. So this is why I start out with this title. But then when I start to do more research on it, it does mean several different things. It has actually multiple meanings. 所以这个千江流水千江月，万里无云万里无云万里天，是一句蛮有名的一句禅宗的一个句子哈。那千江代表什么呢？那月亮又代表什么？那是有好几个版本。那其中一个版本呢，是千江代表每一个人，我们都有个心水，有一潭心水在里面的。我们的心有点要像江水一样，心要很干净，有水就有月，对不对？心要像水一样，有水就有月。那月亮呢，在这边其实就是代表佛性，月亮代表佛性。So there are several interpretation, and one of the popular interpretation is that thousand rivers, the rivers represent sentient beings, that each of sentient beings has sort of, their mind sort of like a river, And when the moons shine on us, the moons, what does it represent? When the moons represent our Buddha nature.So the idea is that when we keep our mind nice and peaceful and calm, just like the water. When the water is nice and still, the Buddha nature will appear. So that's one and one interpretation of this meaning, thousand moons on thousand river. Another interpretation, which Sifu interpret, it's more Sifu interpret. Anyone knows how Sifu interpret this one? Anyone? 请问师父其实也有另外一个解释这个句子的版本。 千江有水千江月， 月亮代表观音菩萨， 月亮代表观音菩萨， 然后水代表众生， 只要有水的地方， 月亮就会显现出来， 只要， 但是只要有苦难众生的地方， 一定也有救苦救难菩萨出现。 So another interpretation of thousand moons and thousand river is that the moons represent Avalokitesvara. Avalokitesvara. And again, the water is sentient beings. And so anywhere there's water, there is always the moon. So Avalokitesvara is always with us. But at the same time, anywhere there are sentient beings, there's one of Avalokitesvara will also appear. So that's the relationship. So I think 所以我想师父好像写过一本书叫做观音菩萨如何修行观音菩萨法门吗？还是啊？我忘记他那本书名叫什么？观音耳根圆通法门。 OK, 好。So I think Sifu actually wrote a book in Chinese on how to practice the way of Avalokitesvara. So this is what he wrote about 千江流水千江月. So this is what he wrote about. 所以这是师父讲的，跟我记得在书的最后面观音法门的书最后面有一篇文章。那师父是说千江流水千江月，至于我呢，观世音菩萨如同一轮皎洁的明月一般，从孩提同盟。 自梯度成长乃至为真为师始终映照着己的生命以及修行的轨的土轨。一轮明月即可照映投影于千江万江乃至千亿万条江水之中，同时千亿条不同的江水也能同时映现，显现出此一轮皎月来。换句话说，观世音菩萨即可普门，悲寂。 与一切有情众生，每一位有情也可以自身中立显出观音的形象，投影出他如月轮一般皎洁圆满的智慧与慈悲。这是师父在他书上写的一些跟千江流水、千江月有关的一些话。Okay, this is what Sifu wrote in this book, and it's pretty complicated to translate all that. Let's see how would I translate this. So the thousand rivers on, thousand moons on thousand river, to me, Avalokitesvara is like the moon. From my childhood till I become a teacher, it's always been with me, shining in my life. That's what Sifu is saying. And in this, and the moon, not only it's clear, but it can also project onto tens and thousands of rivers. But at the same time, tens and thousands of river can also show that clear moon through their reflection. So in other words, the Avalokitesvara could deliver to all sentient beings, and at the same time, every sentient beings can find their own Avalokitesvara within them. So there's this interconnectedness between those two. So this is what Sifu talked about. So, where is your moon? Have you asked that question? Where is your Buddha nature? Right? So where is my moon? Where is your moon? 所以如果月亮代表我们佛性的话，请问我们的佛性在哪里？ 那今天我要讲的东西呢，没有办法帮你找到佛性，但是至少可能可以让我们大家互相讨论一下。 怎么样可能可以多了解什么所谓我们的佛性是在哪里。那为什么我们看不到佛性呢？因为如果以这个比例来讲，水如果 不平静的话，月亮就不会显现出来。那这些波浪，水的波浪到底在我们人生代表什么呢？这是可能我今天比较想要注重的地方，就是是为什么让我们比较心没办法平静，所以看不到我们自己的内心，是我今天想要专注的重点这样子。 So where is my moon? Well, according to this quote, one way to interpret that is when the water is not still and peaceful, you're not going to see the reflection of the moon. So I think the focus today is for me is, okay, so when there are a lot of waves, you're not going to see the moon. So what are the waves representing our life? So what are the waves representing our life today? So that sounds good. So that's where I'm going to focus on. That's why I don't think my talk can get you to see the moon, but at least I hope my talk can get you to see what the waves are. That's my focus are. In order to find your own moon, well, you got to work hard on yourself. We all have to work hard to see our own Buddha nature, but as far as vexation goes, since by training, we do have some training on what vexation is about by profession, so I can share what I think the vexation is. Sounds good? Okay. By the way, the way I carry my talk, and usually when I carry my talk in class or on Sunday, morning talk like this is, I hope there's some kind of interaction, because I think the PowerPoint is dead, but our interaction is very real, it's very lively. So it would be great if you can share your feelings, because I think when you share, you help others to know about you and know about how you feel, and you also help me to know about what you want to know. And when we share with each other, it really helps us to make this talk more interesting, because I don't think a talk is kind of boring when it's just one person just keep talking, right? But it's more fun when we all sort of discuss about something. 所以我通常那个星期天早上，如果是通常我在上课的时候，我在大学有教书，那通常我教书的时候都是会跟学生有一些互动，所以我也鼓励大家有机会的话就是把你的意见讲出来，那你把你的意见讲出来的时候呢，我们可以从你身上学习到很多东西，那我也可以就是把你讲出来的东西帮助我学习到你们可能需要什么，然后我可以改变一下我的那个演讲内容。那因为这个 PowerPoint 是死的，我们的互动是活的，所以我们大家可以把这个Sunday 的一个讲座弄得比较活一点这样子，所以希望大家踊跃的发问，那个踊跃的发表意见，这样可不可以？啊，可以。Okay. All right. So, where's my moon? To start, what do you think vexations are? What do you think vexations are? To start.And according to the Four Noble Truths, the foundation of Buddhism, the first noble truth is, what's the first noble truth? Cool. 佛法的这个原其中的很重要四圣谛的第一谛是苦，对不对？苦。那苦的意义是什么呢？苦的意义是说人生下来就很痛苦吗？还是？是这样子吗？还是
之前的结果。
所以只要是人的话，你只要生下来，人生一定会伴随着一些不圆满，人生会伴随着一些不圆满，对不对？这个是第一个真谛，苦谛。So the first noble truth about suffering. So do you think life comes with suffering? Any of you?Anyone object with that? Life comes with suffering? Sort of? To demonstrate this, let me just see if we can see whether that's true or not. For example, 譬如说我们来看一下人生到底是不是真的有这么差，譬如说你遇到个朋友，你很喜欢这个朋友，等你喜欢这个朋友的时候呢，你只有两个选择，一跟他表白。或是继续暗恋他，那你如果继续暗恋他的话呢？时间拖了久了，很痛苦。那你如果喜欢的话，你跟他表白的话，那表白有两个选择，你可以恋爱，你表白之后可以恋爱，或是表白之后人家就把你当马脸牛头马脸跑掉了。那你如果人家跑掉了，你也很痛苦。那如果能表白之后呢？终于可以恋爱了，恋爱了之后有三个结果，一个是日久无趣，很痛苦，然后一个是移情别恋，也很痛苦，最后结婚还是痛苦，所以基本上人生是不是很痛苦呢？很多时候我们说人生不如意的事情十之八九，对不对？人生不如意的事情十之八九。Okay, so just to demonstrate whether or not life can come with suffering, let's say you have a friend, you really like this friend, so you have two choices. You either tell your friend that I like you, I want to date you, or you don't tell the friend, you just keep it to yourself. And when you keep it to yourself, and when it lasts for a while, suffering, right?If you tell your friend, then there's two things may happen. Your friend say, okay, I want to date you, or no, I don't want to be with you, and they run away from you like you have some kind of disease. And if that's the case, suffering, right? And if you have, okay, then let's say you tell your friend, and then finally you fell in love with each other, then there's three possibilities. The first possibility, human are...habitual creature, after you last for a long time, you feel no pleasure, suffering. Okay? What usually also happens is after a long time of in dating, the person fell in love with someone else, so you're suffering. Oh, or finally you get married and suffering. Okay, so, suffering could be really part of our life, right?
There's another part you can add to that.
Okay.
Where the two people fall in love, they get married, and they're very happy, and then one of them dies. That causes suffering.
All right, you're not cheerful. You're not too cheerful either. Okay. Yes, eventually that will also happen. Okay, they could fall in love really happy, and then they get married, they're happy married after.
30, 40, 50 years.
And then someone dies, then suffering.Jeez, no wonder why people say Buddhists are pessimistic sometimes, you know? So is Buddhism pessimistic that we talk about suffering all the time, do you think? 所以等一下有时候说我们佛教徒蛮悲观的，你觉得这是正确的吗？不是，那你觉得是怎么样？为什么会讲到痛苦呢？
因为有受，还有苦，才知道苦。
有
痛，
有受，
才知道苦。
那苦在佛法的含义，你觉得是什么含义？
这个苦是我们自己造出来的。
苦是我们自己造出来的。哦。
所以又我们就是又修，我们就又面对这个苦。
啊哈哈哈。So this lady she say suffering in Buddhism is important because it is sort of like homework for us.We face, it's part of our life, but we need to face it and practice on it. So we understand what happiness is after we've truly seen the nature of vexations. 谢谢 very good. So let's just go over the cornerstone of all Buddhism, which is Four Noble Truths, which as a quick review,The Four Noble Truths is really based on sort of like a medical model, right? People say Buddha is the great doctor. And life is suffering is the first truth. Not life is suffering, but life comes with suffering. I think there's a subtle difference. By the way, Four Noble Truths doesn't mean they're absolute truth. If it's absolute truth, that means we can just end at truth number one. I mean, life suffering, okay, life sucks. Thank you very much. End of story, right? So no, that's not the absolute truth. It's a truth that we need to reflect on so we can do something about it. So that's something very important. So the basic concept of Buddhism, in any Buddhism, is life comes with suffering or vexations. The cause of suffering is the second truth, which usually means, very simply, and there are many different ways to explain it, but a quick way of explaining it is that what you want is usually in conflict with how things really are. What you want is usually in conflict with how things really are. And the third truth is what? That there's suffering can be dealt with. And that, so the third truth is the good news. The third truth is suffering can be dealt with if we use the right method. And the final truth is how do you deal with it? So just a quick summary, a quick review. 如果今天要讲烦恼的话，我们先复习一下什么是四圣谛，四谛啊。我因为我们如果今天要讲烦恼，没有稍微了解一下佛法讲的烦恼是什么的话，我们需要复习一下四谛到底是什么。那四谛第一个谛，第一谛就是苦，谛是苦。那这个四谛的来源有点像，其实它是有点像一个医学的那个model这样子哈。 第一谛是苦，那人生如果只要生在人生，就很多挑战与痛苦。那苦的原因是什么？很简单的来说，苦的原因是因为你想要的跟现实通常是有冲突的。那第三谛呢？所以第一谛是苦，第二谛是集，集就是苦的原因。那 苦的原因就是，用简单的方式来讲，就是你想要的跟现实是有冲突的。那第三谛就是灭，灭是灭，其实是好消息。灭对我们来讲是好消息，苦是可以去掉的，苦是可以去掉的，如果你有用对的方法的话。那道呢？道最原始的道就是八正道，但是就是意思的就是这是方法，这些是什么方法？ 啊，这些你如果用这些方法的话，你可以来面对你的烦恼。所以这是一个就是很快的一个去稍微复习一下佛法在讲的是什么苦集灭道。那道有八个八正道，但是八个太多集不起来，你把八个想成主要是三个嘛，戒定慧这三个。So a quick review again. The basic Four Noble Truths have four things, right? Symptom, etiology, prognosis, and treatment, which is sort of based on the ancient medical Indian medical model. So today we're going to focus on really the second one, right? What is the cause of vexation? What is the cause of suffering? That's what we really want to focus today. So what is the cause of suffering? What is the cause of suffering? Simply put, what I just said earlier, the cause of suffering is because, I mean, there are many ways to explain it, but one way to explain it is you want things other than it is, right? You want things other than it is. What you want is in conflict with how things really are. But you don't see that. Right. That's the cause of suffering. And usually we can just describe that as grasping of desires. I mean, another way of explaining what I just explained is grasping of desires. And there are many different kinds of desires that we have in life. But in general, I would say there are three major kinds of desire. The first kind of desire is sensation, pleasure. We all have the desire to have pleasure one way or another. Okay? In fact, Freud, one of the earliest psychologists, actually talk a lot about how the way we chase after pleasure shape who we are as a person. The second kind of desire is desire of becoming. We all have this desire of wanting to become something or someone. And the third desire, can anyone guess what's the third desire? It's related to the first two. If the first one is about pleasure, the second one is about wanting to become something, then the third desire is to... Any clue?
Desire to live.
Okay, desire to live is sort of the first two desire in one of those two categories. If you want, you have the desire of wanting something, collecting something, then what's the opposite of that? If you want this, that means you don't want desire to get rid of. Okay. So, in general, if you think about why you suffer, if you reflect on why life kind of don't go too well, it probably reflects on those three things, right? Either you want something, you can't get it, or you want to get rid of something, you can't get rid of. Or you want to have fun, you can't have fun. I mean, all those three things. If you, basically, right? But if you look at the desire deeper, if you practice enough, oh, did I translate that? I didn't translate yet, right? No, okay. 所以那个急的原因, 为什么人生会有烦恼呢? 用一个简单的说法就是, 我们想要的跟现实是有冲突的, 我们想要跟现实是有冲突的, 所以用一个更简单的说法就是, 执着, 我们会执着一个我们想要的, 那基本上我们, I just realized this is a hard lecture for me because I have to translate something I don't know how to translate. It's very hard. 今天这个讲座对我来讲实在是有点困难，因为有时候我要翻译有点，我的那个中文程度只是小学六年级的程度，所以请大家将就一下哈。那用个另外一个简单的原来讲，那个第二圣地的话是 grasping of desire. 那 grasping 就是取。 我们说爱取有嘛，那个十二因缘的爱取有，可能就是执取我们的愿，我们执取我们的那个 desire 要怎么翻呢？执取我们的愿望，哎，不是愿望，那个欲望，执取我们的欲望，那基本上的欲望有三种，欲望有三种哈。 基本上你可以分三大类，第一种欲望就是 pleasure， 意思就是娱乐，可能不止娱乐，就是还有任何让我们快乐的事情，娱乐或是安逸跟快乐，我们有那种执取，我们会执取，好，这是第一种。 那第二种我们会执取的呢，是我们想要成就为什么？我们想要当做什么？有一种欲望就是我想当这个人，我想成就这件事情，我想当这件事情。那第三种欲望就是我们什么都不要，就是你如果想要这个的话，你就不想要这个；你如果想要当这个人的话，你就不想要当这个人。 所以第三个欲望是，就是跟前两个是有，也是有关联的哈。但是如果，so as a Buddhist, what do we do in Buddhism? We train to, especially in Zen practice, we train ourselves to cultivate this deep observation, right? when we're sitting meditation, first we calm our mind down, but then when we're calm, the purpose of being calm is not just to be calm forever. I mean, that's not the purpose of Buddhism. The purpose of Buddhism is to develop that deep observation. That deep observation to see the nature, our mind, the nature of vexation. And when you observe deeper what is grasping of desire, when you observe deeper, it looks like this. Well, I mean, it doesn't look like this. But just to demonstrate an example of what desire means, right? You must realize that desire is the cause of almost all unhappiness, but just out of curiosity. Where could I get a soup like that? Just an example of how desire is very part of our within us. 那这个图画是说这个和尚跟这位居士说你要了解说呢执着呢是苦的原因那对不起插话一下请问你哪边买到这件西装那这个是一个就是一个卡通来代表说执着是在我们那个人心的非常非常在我们人的每一个生活，我们人心的每一部分这样子。If you pay attention deeper, if you pay that deep, if you start to cultivate that deep observation, you will realize that grasping is the real problem, not the desire itself. Not the desire itself. It's grasping that's the problem. Desire is natural.Even you see a dog and cat, they all have the desire to be happy, right? I mean, very normal part of our biological makeup, but it's not the desire that's the problem, but it's the grasping of desire. So what's grasping here? Grasping means the following. Grasping means that we're being deluded by thinking that our desire is me or mine. Thinking our desire is me or mine.So, in other words, the reason why we suffer is because, simply put, we want things other than it is. But why do we want things other than it is? Because the real culprit is... What's the real culprit here? What's the real culprit? Is the... What's that? Do you know? What's the real culprit?If it's not, why do we want things other than it is? The real culprit is... Well, who cannot accept it?
The I.
The I is the self. That's the real culprit, right? That's the real culprit, right? So, I would say in both East and Western tradition, the reason why people suffer, ultimately when you trace back,when you chase back, sooner or later you'll find that the self has a lot to do with it. The self has a lot to do with it. From both the Western psychology and Eastern Buddhism, I bet you when you chase back to see the cause of suffering, the self has a lot to do. I mean, of course, that's not the only thing, that there's biological makeup and all that, but the self has a huge impact. The self. So,In order to have a better understanding of Buddhism, you need to understand three things, right? The nature of the self, the nature of phenomena, which is impermanence. The nature of self is empty, impermanence. And they are related to suffering. And suffering will be end unless you understand those two things, impermanence and no self. Make sense? Okay. 所以如果以简单的方式来解释说为什么人生会有烦恼呢？很简单，会有烦恼，原因是因为你觉得你想要跟现实有冲突的。那为什么这样子会让我们有烦恼呢？你如果再更仔细去观察的话呢，你会发觉说，到底是谁不能接受，是我不能接受。所以真正的原因是跟我有关。所以所有的烦恼呢，以西方心理学或东方的佛学来看的话，你只要有烦恼的话，你如果去仔细观察它的话呢，最后呢，一定会跟我有关联，会跟我有关联。 那你如果没有了解到我的本质跟我们的现象的本质，现象的本质是什么？现象的本质是无常。那我的本质是什么？无我。你如果没有了解到这两个本质的话呢，我们就会人生会比较多烦恼。这是叫做什么？三法印，对不对？ So those three things we call the three seals of Dharma. Three seals of Dharma.、Right? So when we grasp, it means a whole bunch of things. Basically, what it means is we put ourselves with our desire together. We sort of combine them together. So kun means that we can, when grasp, so grasping means that we treat the desire as self, as me.So there's something wrong with me having this desire, or I don't like the way I am now, I have to become someone else, or I have to get rid of something before I can become what I want to be. So that's what grasping means. We put ourselves into our desires. So in order to form that sense of self, so how do we form that sense of self? In life, that's what we do. We collect this.And we sort of forming a sense of self, and we carry around with it. 所以我执，如果以从东方佛学或西方心理学来看的话，我执跟烦恼是非常有关联的。因为我们人生好像一辈子就是在收集这个，让我们的自我怎么样？我们可以更执着这个我。我们可以更执着这个我。So, so all these are desires. If you can train yourself to pay attention to your desires and start to observe how you react to your desires, you start to see the nature of the mind.How you respond to it, how you grasp onto it, how you reject it, which give you some clear ideas of how the self is involved. So, it's all about the self. And this is what Sifu say about the self. Wisdom is not knowledge, nor experience, nor dialectical excellence, but a selfless attitude. So in order to face vexation, this is something you need to develop.This selfless attitude is something we need to develop. Because after all, our vexation has a lot to do with the self. 所以师父呢，所以今天的重点就是要讲这个我。所以我这重点一直在换，从烦恼然后再变到我。所以这是最后一次，今天的重点真的是要讲，这是最重要的重点，我是怎么样形成的。那是这个我是很重要，因为师父也是说，智慧不是知识，不是经验，不是思辨，而是超越自我中心的态度。所以如果要面对烦恼的话呢，我们要有这个面对，要超越，有这种超越自我的态度，要对我很了解，你才有办法超越自我，对不对？ So I think my focus keep changing, right? At first I said I'm going to focus on the moves, then now I'm going to focus on vexation, now I'm going to say I'm going to focus on the self. I think this is the last thing I'm going to focus on today. So this is what I really want to talk about today, the nature of the self, right? The nature of the self. I know we Buddhists like to say there's no self, but in order to talk about there's no self, you really need to know what the self is. Without knowing what the self is, it's kind of difficult to say what's no self, right? Did I see self-nature yet? I don't know, I don't think so. But do I have some understanding what's self? How can self be problematic? I think I have some training in that. So that's why I'm going to focus on the nature of self today. 所以今天我们要真的要演讲的主题哦，就是我是怎么形成的。这个我是怎么形成的？那你如我们佛教徒很喜欢讲无我，但是要讲无我之前，我觉得非常重要是你要知道我是怎么样形成的。你如果对我的本质不了解的话，你可能我觉得要看到无我可能会更困难。 所以至少今天我们可以把我这个概念稍微解释一下。So, where does the self come from? We all carry a sense of self? Yes? Do you think so? We all carry a sense of self? So, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of people who I work with in the clinic. So, a few weeks ago, I had a gentleman came to my clinic, and he said he's very anxious. He's very anxious all the time. He's very anxious all the time. Okay, so you're very anxious all the time. And because he's very anxious, he doesn't go too many places. He basically just go to work and go home. Or go home and go to work. His life is pretty isolated. A young man is like maybe 28 years old. Now, why would someone be so anxious? Now, when we say anxious, I mean really anxious. I mean, it's not just I feel worried, but I mean it's a sense of something bad gonna happen, that kind of feeling. So it would I have to translate now, but then I say a lot. Okay, so 我用一个我在讲这个我的观念之前，我想要讲一个故事，就是我在那个我工作上会有个案，会我们会帮助一些，我的工作就是帮助人怎样解决他们烦恼嘛。那前几个礼拜有一个个案来跟我见面，那他的问题是他会很紧张，他会常常很紧张，常常很焦虑。很焦虑，坐立不安，然后，所以他的人生是蛮怎么样封闭的，因为他就是赶快去工作，工作完就赶快回家，整天都是非常的焦虑的。So this， 然后他是他年纪也没有很大，年纪就是二七八岁而已，所以他来找我就是想要面对他这个焦虑的原因这样子。So, I mean, so in this culture, when you're anxious, there are several options. You have several options. One option is you just see the psychiatrist, and then they give you the pill, and then you feel less anxious. Yes? Sounds good? Yeah. Well, we're the Prozac nation, you know. We want instant results. You take a pill, less anxious, and that's it.Right, so that's one option. Of course, that's not my option. I'm not a psychiatrist, so that wasn't what I did. But if it's really bad, maybe that I would refer him to that. So why is he anxious? So if you're helping him, what would you ask? If you're helping this young man, what would you ask? Would you say there's no self? That's why so you don't need to be anxious? It doesn't work that way, right?Doesn't work that way. What would you ask? What would be a natural question to ask?
Well, I'd ask, what's going on in your life that might make you feel this way?
Okay. Very good. That's what we would... that's a natural way of asking, right? Okay, well, what make you feel anxious? Where would you be anxious? When are you more anxious? I mean, we'd be curious about it, right? So imagine, so I myself practice Hua Tou.I myself practice Hua Tou. So every time I have a new case, I treat the case like a Hua Tou, right? You have no idea what the answer is, but you just keep asking, right? So, okay, you're anxious, so what make you so anxious? He's anxious because, well, he's anxious in many things, but he's most anxious when he's with people. Okay? So,我们如果这个，所以这一个个案他本身非常焦虑，那我当然可以跟他说，哎，你不用焦虑啊，因为本来就是无我啊，没有我怎么会焦虑呢？但是这样可能对他没什么用哈。那比较对他有用的是， 帮他问一下，帮他就是关怀他，哎，你是为什么会焦虑呢？你什么时候最焦虑呢？那忽然后来我们发觉说，哎，他最焦虑的时候是跟人相处的时候，跟人相处的时候。This seems like a simple answer, right? But it sometimes takes a while for people to figure that out because people don't pay attention to themselves too often. So sometimes they just feel they're anxious all the time until they really go back and observe themselves a little bit. So the very first step of knowing the self is to really have some kind of observation of yourself, right? Like what Sifu said, we need to learn to face ourselves first before you want to talk about everything else. So he's most anxious when he's around with people. Now, what kind of self would you have if you're anxious around people? What kind of self would someone carry with?
Fear.
A self of fear. Okay, fear of what, do you think?
To be hurt by them.
Fear to be hurt by them, or... Okay, that's one possibility, right?I'm scared to be with people because people you will take advantage of me or hurt me. Or fear of anything else?
Judgment.
That's another big one, right? Either people are going to take advantage of me or people are going to judge me, right? Or people are going to do whatever, right? But we don't know, you see? We don't know. But you can start to see how there's some...possibilities of where this thing are going. 所以我就问这个居士、不是居士，他是个案嘛，我问这个个案说 OK, 你是跟人在一起的时候会最紧张，会最焦虑，对不对？那 我想问一下大家一下，为什么有些人在跟人别人在一起的时候会很焦虑呢？那他们刚才其他几位居士有给一个几个答案，一个是说有些人跟别人会在一起会焦虑，因为他们觉得说别人会可能是占他便宜，或者是陷害他，或者是做出对他不利的事情，比较怕这样。那另外一个居士是说，有时候另外一个主要原因是我们会觉得说人家会批评我们。那你觉得这两个是不是都跟我有关呢？就是你会怕别人陷害你，或是怕别人批评你。你如果去更深一步了解的时候，是不是都是跟你怎么样看待自己有关系，对不对？你怎么样看待自己是有关系。So if you okay, so possibility of why people would feel they'd be judged or someone gonna harm them is all about the self after all, right?I mean, you've got to carry a certain kind of self to make yourself feel that people might harm me or hurt me. Yes? Or judge me. What kind of self would that be usually? Happy self? Not really.
Well, no, not an unhappy self, but also an insecure self. Somebody who's not secure in who they are.
Insecure. Some kind of self-image they're carrying.
Self-deprivation. You know, I don't remember the word, but not...somebody who doesn't have a lot of confidence in themselves.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, right? Yeah, if you're a happy, confident self, you're less likely to be worried about how people are going to judge you. So this is what I meant by everything goes to the self, right? From Buddhist tradition or Western tradition. Either way. Now, you could take a pill, you could take medication,to make, let go of your anxiety, would that help you to see the nature of self? Probably not. So it's very two different kind of treatment approach. Two very different kind of treatment approach. 所以一个人焦虑的原因是跟他们对自我的看法有关嘛。你如果会怕别人会批评你或者是害你的话，那表示你对自己的看法一定是某一种，可能觉得自己有缺陷啊，或者是觉得自己不好啊，所以人家才会批评你，才会对你不好，对不对？那当然你焦虑的话，你可以吃个药，你吃个药就不焦虑了。但是你吃个药不焦虑之后，你可以看得到这个我的本质吗？看不到嘛。所以这个跟我们佛法的那个方法有两种嘛， 止跟观嘛，止是把让我们心平下来，观是要看到我们那个我的本质嘛。所以你如果只是练习止的话，你不练习观的话，你也是看不到，你也发展不了智慧嘛，对不对？这是类似的道理。So it's like in Buddhism we have shamatha and vipassana, right? Shamatha, the nature of shamatha is to calm your mind down. Sort of like the medication we're taking, right? That you could be calm and peaceful, but you're not going to see the nature of the self. So that's why we have vipassana, which is the insight meditation. So where does the self come from? So back to the story of the young man I'm talking about. So you're anxious around with people. Do you have any idea why that is? Not really. And that's a common answer. Most of people don't know why they're anxious. They just know they're anxious. Okay? They just know they're anxious. You kind of ask them why, but they kind of can't verbalize it. Why they just have this feeling of apprehension every time they're with people. Then he started to talk about, may I ask you a question? I mean, sure. Do you think porno tapes makes people unhealthy? I'm like, what? What tape? Porno tapes? I'm like, what make you ask this question? I mean, no, usually people just watch it and they have a good time and then they forget about it. But he said, well, when I was six years old, I accidentally watched this porn tape and I got some reaction and I feel that's the reason why I'm unhealthy today. How interesting. Now I have to translate this. Okay. This is kind of bad, like I'm getting to the highlight of the story and I have to cut myself and then like and have to translate again. Okay. 所以我问他，所以这个我讲回到我这个个案的故事，这个年轻人，我就问他说，你跟人在一起的时候会很焦虑，那为什么呢？你知不知道为什么？他说我也不知道为什么。那这个是蛮正常，因为很多时候我们焦虑或是忧郁，可是我们不是很清楚焦虑或忧郁的原因哈。所以我就说那，所以。他忽然就问我另外一个问题说，我可以请问一下，看色情影片会不会让我不健康呢？我说色情影片还好啊，不会啊，我们就是看一看，看完就忘啊。他说但是我觉得对我有很有影响，我觉得我六岁的时候，有一次我六岁的时候不小心看到一个色情影片，看完之后我有一些生理反应之后，我觉得从那次以后，我就整个人很不健康，就觉得我很不对劲。So how interesting is that? Any clue how is that related to the sense of self? Yeah.
I think the media plays a lot on this, the public.
The media.
Yeah, and the public. Value plays on a person, how she looks like, she behaves, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, plays a lot of pressure to an individual that since he or she is a child, you know, she's expect a certain, you know, way. That's probably the self, you know, originally come from. It's not from the nature of a human being himself, but rather it's from someone else.
Okay.
From the society.
There's some kind of cultural value about watching it, right? Guess what kind of culture it's from? If that's the case. Well, it's from China. I mean, it's more conservative. I mean, here, if you let kids watch the porn, they're like, oh, whatever. But in China, it's more conservative. So there's something true about what you said. So yes, the kid, after he felt watching a porn tape when he was six has a lot to do with the sense of self, because he said, you know, I feel that it has a lot to do with my health issue, because when I'm 14, every time I go to sleep, I have wet dreams. what dreams they ejaculate at nighttime. Okay. All right. So now, as an audience, does that make big deal? Do you think that's a big deal? For this kid, it is a big deal. It is a big deal for him. Let me translate again. 所以我问他说，为什么你会觉得说六岁看色情影片对你会影响这么大呢？ 那他觉得说，因为他六岁看了色情影片，所以他十四岁的时候呢，每次晚上睡觉都会常常会梦遗，就是晚上睡觉会常常梦遗这样子。 Now, this is a kid who grew up feeling that watching, so throughout the session, that's a lot of what we talk about is, you know, the effect of sex tapes that he saw at six and how he has a lot of reaction, a lot of wet dream when he was a teenager, which is, again, normal. Really, for many teenagers, that's a normal thing to have. How does all this connect to the sense of self? Let me just give you a more background. Well, not only he grew up in China, which is a conservative area, his father also left him when he was about six, when he was 6 years old. And his father came to America when he was six. So in a household, who does he live in the household? Mother, sister, and grandmother, all female. He was the only male in the household. And usually we say living with a woman at home is like living with a half-naked woman. Like, what does that mean? But usually when you live with a sister and mothers, they usually don't dress well at home. I don't know if you ever live with a sister or mother, but you know what I mean. They, you know, sometimes some mother walking around with underwear. I mean, depending on what kind of mother you have, but usually when you're living with a lot of women at home, you're seeing a lot of half-naked people. At least in the Western psychology, that's what we said. And for a little boy, it could be very, what's the word? Stimulating. A lot of stimulation. So chances are, the boy might not want like to think a lot about sex. And here's the funny thing, when you don't want to think about sex, the more you don't want to think about it, guess what? The more it will come out. The more it will come out. So I won't be surprised when he had a lot of wet dream at night, because that's what he tried to pretend not to think about. 所以我给你一下这个个案的他的一个背景啊，他那个六岁的时候，爸爸就搬到外面去。那他爸爸搬到美国，然后爸爸搬到美国的那本身他就是一个小孩子，唯一的男生在家里跟另外三个住的，妈妈、姐姐还有阿嬷，三个女生跟一个小男生。那可能对一个小男生来讲，很多女生，尤其是有时候跟女生住在一起的时候，我们西方人喜欢是说，好像是跟尤其是有时候住在家里跟一些女生住在家里，女生通常不会很衣衫很整齐，有时候女可能还衣衫不太整，所以对小男孩来讲可能是太多那个怎么样讲刺激还是怎么样，所以可能小男孩会对性的方面非常的敏感，非常的敏感，然后所以就会觉得说可能尽量不要去想性的问题，所以性对他来讲是一个非常敏感的问题。但是你越不去想这个东西的话，你其实越会想到这个东西，所以你说晚上会有一些反应的话是蛮正常的。So if this is the background of this kid, how can you formulate a sense of self?What he thinks the self that's caring, that's making him so anxious, with the story I gave you. It's like this. It's like, imagine that you didn't have time to wash your clothes. You don't have time to wash your clothes, especially your underwear. So you're wearing an underwear for 2 weeks, not washing it. Now, how does that sound to you? Kind of disgusting? Yes? Yes? But yet, you're wearing that underwear that's 2 weeks. You didn't wash it for 2 weeks, yet on the outside, you put on the nice clothes. You dress nice in tuxedos, you're walking around. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're walking around as if nothing happened, but deep inside of you, you feel very, what? Disgusted. Disgusted. So that's probably the sense of self you're carrying with. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. Some people, they carry the sense of self, they're very disgusted about themselves. So this is sort of what this little boy, this case I'm talking about, probably that's the sense of self is carrying. There's a deep sense of disgust about who he is as a person, especially his sexual desires. And he's carrying a sense of self around, feeling that people, if people find out who I really am, what's going to happen? People will either judge me or reject me. Yes?
Because he's pretending to be someone that is not himself?
He doesn't even need to pretend. The stuff he's hiding in him, he feels that's the worst thing. Right? It's a sense of disgust. Think of it, if you don't accept yourself, it's kind of hard for people to accept you. So when you're carrying a sense of self, oh, I'm disgusted. Right? You feel yourself as disgusted. When you carry that sense of self walking around, guess what? People will feel it. Yes? People will know. And when people will know, have you ever been with people who's like anxious? Are you comfortable with them? Not really, right? So when you're not comfortable with them, guess what happened to you? You kind of eventually leave them, right? So eventually this guy is going to feel more disgust about himself, because I knew I'm a disgusting person, that's why no one wants to be with me. You see? So it's a vicious cycle. So 所以基本上这个故事呢是要讲说他这个我是哪样子的我呢，用个比喻哦，譬如说你有件你没办法洗衣服，那你有件内裤穿了两个礼拜都还在穿啊，那你如果你穿了一件内裤穿了两个礼拜，你会觉得怎么样？蛮恶心的嘛，对不对？那但是你又要每天要出门，说你每天都穿得很光鲜。 穿得很靓丽，然后穿得很漂亮，但是其实你内心是哦，如果人家知道我穿这种这么臭的内裤，人家一定会吓到。但是你又要装得好像没事一样，那这个故事就是有点像我刚才讲的这个故事一样，他对自己本身是一种怎么样，有一种很恶心的感觉，他觉得自己有这种性的观念是非常不好的，所以他对自己的自我的观念是非常差的。那 就有点像穿着这个很臭的内裤到处走一样，他就是这样觉得说，只要人家知道我真正我是怎么样的话呢，人家一定是会嘲笑我或是不要我的，所以这是他的一种我这样子。 So I hope the story help you to demonstrate a little bit how the sense of self could play a major role in vexation. Yes? I hope that makes sense. Yes. So how does this sense of self formulate? Usually formulate in different ways, but it's usually an interaction between biology and temperament, okay, and experiences with our caregivers. 所以我们这个我是怎么形成的呢？基本上以至少心理学来讲，是你天生的脾气。 有些小脾气是很天生，有时候脾气很天生。你如果看过那个小 baby， 有些小 baby 放在那边整天它都不哭不动的，那有些小 baby 放在那边两秒钟，哇，马上就哭喊。所以那个有些脾气是天生的哦，但是这个脾气跟后天的父母的照顾，会造就一个人对自己的看法。So How does sense of self are formulated? Well, usually formulated from our nature, natural biological temperament. I mean, there's some baby, you leave it there, they're like quiet all day long. Some baby, you leave it there, they start screaming like crazy in 2 seconds. So baby themselves, we are born with certain temperament to start with, but that the parental interaction with you also shape who you are as a person. And to develop a healthy self, there are several major developmental tasks that we need to have. There are several major developmental tasks that we need to develop. 那这个我呢, 要成长, 以至少以心理学来讲, 要以, 要有一个, 健康的我呢, 我们人生有一些, 有一些, 重要的, 的一些, 指标, or task, 我们成长，我们在成长过程中有一些地方是需要去培养的，有一些能力是需要去培养的。那基本上有五种能力，我们需要去培养它。基本上有五种能力，如果要有一个比较健康的我的话，至少要有几个比较重要的能力。 So, in order to develop a healthy self, I think there are several important tasks that one need to have. That several important developmental tasks we need to develop. So the first task is connection and acceptance. We all, and to develop a healthier person, we need to learn ways to connect with people, to trust people. We also need to feel trusted or connected or accepted by others, right? I mean, this is one of the major developmental tasks we need to develop as a person, right? We all want to be feeling accepted and loved by other people, and we also want to develop the ability to love and accept others. So that's one major task. 所以基本上我人生有几个功课我们需要做，而且这几个功课是 在很早，我们年纪很小的时候就是开始在学习的。第一个就是怎么样可以关怀与爱别人，然后怎么样可以被别人关怀与爱，就是可以相信说别人可以会关怀或爱我们的。 Another major task that we need to develop when we were younger is autonomy and performance. Autonomy and performance. Okay, the idea of the feeling that we have the ability to do things in a successful way. That if I do this, I can achieve it. So that's another major task. So the idea is that the first task is you learn to trust others. The second task is really learn to trust yourself. Right. 所以另外一个就是我们成长需要有的一个。 的一个能力就是可以觉得说我们只要做事就可以做得成功，就是我有能力做事就会有那个能力去做得更成功。The third task is realistic limits. Okay. Realistic limits here means we learn to appreciate give and take in a relationship. It's not like me. That people should serve me, but it is when you're in a relationship, there's gives and take. And there's also a sense of self-discipline, a sense of I can control myself. Yes, that makes sense, right? Very important to have a healthy self. So, 第三个人生的功课就是人一个需要一个能力，就是跟我们的界限有关。所谓的界限就是 在一个人与人之间的关系呢，我们学习会给予，我们也可以学习会需求，给予需求，然后我们也学习到怎么样自我控制，所以这是所谓的 limit， 我们界限。然后 ，and the fourth task is inner directness and self-expression. Okay. we all have the need to express ourselves naturally. We all have the need to ask what we want. Okay? You know how some people that cannot ask what they want? Right? Okay? So that's a missing of this ability. We all need to develop an ability to pay attention to ourselves, what we want, as well as to express our feelings. So that's the fourth task. 那另外一个能力我们需要从小需要培养的就是怎么样学习到可以表达自己的意见，表达自己的感觉，然后表达自己想要什么。很多时候很多人没办法表达你想要什么，就是他们就是没有这一个能力这样子。那最后一个能力呢， the final task, another important task that we need to have is spontaneity and pleasure. Okay, playing hide and seek here. We all like have, human are spontaneous, we're natural, right? We need to have some kind of pleasure. And 所以最后一个很重要的能力就是可以在我们人生活中找到乐趣，就是可以有找到乐趣的能力，或是可以很自然，可以就是不会很做作，可以生活很自然。 So why is this developmental task important? So I mentioned five, right? There are five I mentioned. The five developmental tasks are important because our environment should help us to develop those tasks. If you don't develop those tasks, then you will develop a maladaptive self. Okay? Maladaptive self. So our self has a lot to do with how we develop those developmental tasks. And in general, I would say there are five major kinds of maladaptive self. So not only you're carrying a self, but the self is actually not so healthy, which leads to very bad vexations. 那为什么这几个人生的能力很重要？因为我们如果从小没有培养到这些能力的话呢，它会给我们，会造就一些自我，而且是不是很健康的自我，不是很健康的我执。譬如说，你如果从小就没有受到关怀与爱的话，你的父母如果没有给予关怀与爱的话呢，你会怎么样？ 你可能会长大了，你会觉得说这个世界是冷漠的，我是不被爱的，世界是冷漠的，对不对？或是你如果是在一个比较，比如说你如果是在一个，你知道台湾以前有那种很军事训练的，有些父母是军人嘛。 所以从军事家庭出来的小孩子是怎么样的？什么事情都一定要中规中矩，人生。所以你的人生就是一定要不准做错事，你的人生就是不准做错事。那这样子的话，你就是没有机会表现出你的第五个。我们刚刚不是说第五个是人生要有随时可以觉得很自然有乐趣，你就是没办法学习到那个。 那这样子你的人格呢，就是受限的。所以 basically in our clinical work, when we see people who suffer from depression, anxiety, or OCD, whatever, if you trace back to the source of the suffering, there's always some kind of self that's involved. And the kind of self that's involved is usually not only there's a self, but a maladaptive self. Maladaptive means it's not a very healthy self that you're carrying with. And there basically are five major kinds of self. There are five major kinds of self. If we look at people, why they're suffering, there are five major types, I would say. The first major type is disconnect and rejection. They carry a sense of a self that they feel rejected all the time. Either people gonna leave them, or people will hurt them, or people will reject them, or people will laugh at them, or people will take advantage of them. That's the first major kind. Okay. And the second major kind, let me translate back. 那在我们临床方面呢，如果我们看到有些人是有忧郁啊，或者是焦虑啊，或者是紧张啊，或者是不开心啊，你如果去追寻他那个不开心的原因，或者是忧郁的原因，或者是焦虑的原因的话呢，很多时候是跟这个我有关。那通常呢，这个我呢，不只是有一个很强的我执呢，用佛法的。 讲法来讲，不止这个我执是非常强，而且这个我呢，他们这个我呢，是一个非常不健康的我，非常不健康的我，或是非常不健康的人格，哈，这样讲比较正确。那基本上呢，我们如果把这不同种的我，把它放在一起的话，基本上有至少我们可以看到五种，五大类啊，第一大类呢，是。 就是不受关怀、不受爱的，他们就是他们觉得说自己一辈子就是没人爱。你们有看过连续剧《阿信》吗？阿信啊，连续剧就是有点像阿信，我就是阿信这种感觉，就是我到哪里就会被人家虐待，我到哪里就是会被人家看不起，我到哪里就是被人家瞧不起。一种我，那为什么这种我会产生呢？就是因为从小他没有学习到，可能从小因为父母。 不疼爱、不关怀，或是父母惩罚太多，或是父母跟父母的互动会造就我们对我们自己的看法。这样讲，没有很玄嘛，对不对？不很玄嘛。 So the first major kind of self is disconnect and reject. The second kind of self is related to autonomy, okay, and incompetence. The sense people carry a sense of self that they can't really do things in a successful way. No matter what I do, I will screw up. No matter what I do, even though I made it now, but eventually, I will screw up. I will fail. Okay. So 另外一种常见的我呢，就是跟那个他们的能力有关哦。他们会常常觉得说啊，我就是一个失败的人，做什么都会失败，做这个也失败，做生意失败，做学生失败。 开店失败, 学佛失败, everything you do is a failure. That's another kind of self. 那第三种我们常见的我呢，是第三种我们常见的是自大，跟那个自大有关，就是他们觉得他们是最好的、最强的、最伟大的。 在跟人与人之间，他们都是需要当老大，或是每个人都要听我的，或是说他们觉得自己不受于那个规矩的拘束，我不受规矩，大家都可以去 follow 这个规矩，我不需要，这是第三种。 So third kind of self that we see often in a clinical setting is limit, related to limit. Okay, relate to limit. There's a sense of, what's the word? Entitlement. Everyone should serve me. When they're in a relationship, they're interested in controlling others. Okay, people should listen to me. Or the rules, ordinary rules, don't apply to me. So that's the third kind of self. The fourth kind of self that we see often in the clinical setting is other directness. What does that mean? Everything they do is about others. Either they try to please others, or they try to bend their back for others, or they try to sacrifice for themselves for others, or they try to do everything to gain people's attention or to seek people's approval. So 第四种我们常常见到的第三，我讲到第三种，第四种是什么都是为别人， 所谓的为别人，就是他们一天到晚都是自我牺牲，一天到晚自我牺牲，或是从来不敢讲自己想要什么。人家说做这个好，做这个好，做这个好，没有意见，没有意见，或是什么做什么事情都是需要别人来注意，他们非常需要别人的注意，非常需要别人的认可。这是第四种，第四大类。然后 and the final kind is related to inhibited. Some people are negative, very vigilant, hypervigilant, very inhibited. They are very scared to make mistakes. Everywhere they walk around, they feel like if I make one little mistake, do mistake happen. So they're very careful with the rules. They follow every single rules. If they make a little mistake, they go off very nervous. Okay, and they feel like if they make a mistake, they will be punished harshly. So when you carry this kind of self, not only you punish yourself harshly, you also punish others harshly. Perfectionistic. That's the kind of person I'm talking about. Very perfectionistic. Everything needs to be perfect. I should not make any mistakes at all. So 最后一种人呢，最后一种我们最常见的就是非常紧张，他们非常怕犯错，非常怕犯错。只要一犯错的话，他们觉得好像全世界都要塌下来了，全世界都要塌下来了。或是一犯错的话，你就需要被惩罚，被很严厉的惩罚。所以他不只惩罚自己，也很严厉的惩罚别人。这是第五种，可能就从军事家庭长大小孩，可能就是比较是这样子。So those are the five major type of self. Actually, five major category of self. And within each category,at least in terms of our professional work, we actually have subcategories. Subcategories. So can you imagine? So there are a whole bunch of different kind of self. For example, the story I just tell you about the young man, that's the self of defect. Defect. Which, by the way, which group does he come from out of those five? Those five, disconnect, autonomy, limits,others, other directness, and hypervigilant. Which self, which category do you think he came from?
Number one? I guess.
Okay, that's good. That's a good guess. Okay, he's from the first category, right? The sense that people will reject him, right? And more specifically, we say he has the self of defect. Okay, there's a sense of I'm defective, right? I'm defective. So,I hope this lecture helped you to understand a little bit why self is important and how self is a major aspect of or a major ingredient of vexations. So if you need to deal with the vexations, what do you need to do? Now knowing all that self we're talking about, what do you need to do?所以我们刚才讲这么多的我，不同的我，那这些我呢，都跟我们的烦恼是有关联的。那你如果要把，你要减轻你的烦恼的话呢，你需要怎么做呢？你需要怎么做呢？东方跟西方的做法不太一样，东方跟西方做法不太一样。西方的做法是，第一，你要先知道有这个我，对不对？然后你要发觉说这个我其实是可以改变的，然后你去改变它，这是西方的做法。东方的做法是什么呢？你也是要先察觉到有这个我这个东西在，但是你要察觉到这个我的本质，它本质是清净的，是空的，对，所以你其实根本不需要有这个我。这是两面不同的做法。 So,all the vexations about the self, but the way the East and the West approach it is somewhat different. The Western approach is, well, I think both approaches are the same in the sense that you need to know there's this self that's not very functional. But in the Western approach is you know the self, and you know where it's come from, and once you know it, you can modify it. you can replace it with a different kind of self. The East approach is the Buddhist approach is different, right? Buddhist approach is you see the true nature of the self, which is empty, and once you see that, you don't need to replace it with anything. You don't even need to have another self to replace it. So I would say that's the major sort of ways how East and West sort of diverge. But both, I would say though, but it's very important if you think about what Sifu say, and this is where I want to end today. See, I have a lot of slides that I have like 70 slides. Don't worry, I'm going to end on time today. Okay. So, are we going to suffer forever? No, we're not going to suffer forever because we all practice true religion, right? Buddhism. So if you practice Buddhism, you'll be okay. Do you know this? It's a famous, it's very funny, this is a gene. It's like a clothing store, and they sell the most expensive jean you can think of in the name of the Buddha, isn't it? Very interesting. But I would just say, I would end with what the Dogen say. Okay? Dogen say that to meditate is to study oneself, and to study oneself is to forget oneself, and to forget oneself is to be awakened by all things. To be awakened by all things is to let body and mind of self and others fall away. Okay, so I can't translate it. This is Daoyuan Chan Shi. 什么叫做忘记自己呢？忘记自己就是要去觉醒，这是觉醒，这是觉醒。那就是什么是觉醒呢？就是身心陀罗。这个可能不是很好翻译了，你就随便听听就好了。我用师父讲的话可能比较正确。 But I think Sifu laid out a path for us. Okay, self-affirmation, self-improvement, and self-dissolution are the three stages in the path from self. Himself. 从自我肯定、自我提升到自我消亡，是从自我到无我的三个修行阶段。所以我想师父跟我今天讲的话也是有关联的嘛。你要修行的第一个最开始的一个修行的东西呢，是什么？就是要去面对自我。你要先学习面对自我之后呢，你要对这个我了解之后，你才能学习到怎么样去接受自我。 你要接受自我，你才能去怎么样？自我提升，自我提升之后才能自我消亡，所以它是有一定的阶段的。So I would say this is what we talk about today is very related to what Sifu is talking about in terms of self-affirmation, self-improvement, and self-dissolution. In order to accept yourself, you first need to face yourself. After you face yourself, then you can really accept yourself. Then you work on yourself, then you let go of yourself. But everything starts with the self you're carrying with you at all time. And without seeing that, it's kind of hard to deal with the vexations that you're carrying with. So I think I would end my talk here today. And just want to remind you, vexation, after all, is a good thing. Because vexation is wisdom, right? And wisdom is vexation. And this is what Sifu say. Sifu say, 烦恼即菩提，并不是说没有烦恼，而是说虽然有烦恼，但是你不以它为烦恼。那你以它为什么？你以它为帮助你找寻到智慧的一个材料。这样子，可能这样子讲解释比较正确。 So this is what Sifu said about vexation and wisdom. Vexation is wisdom doesn't mean that there's no vexation. It basically means that there's vexation, but you don't see it as vexation. So that's what I will conclude what Sifu said about vexation today. So thank you for coming, and I hope you enjoy what we talk about today. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Could somebody please lower the screen, maybe the fountain to us? Kind of screen from the way. Thank you.